Hello. Good afternoon. I like this blue screen behind me. I hope I get some like superimposing of like a beat scene behind me or something like that. That's what I'm assuming is going to happen. Well, I wanted to say hi to my wife. My wife and oldest son, they're in Lubbock this weekend. They went down to go visit some friends and help them out with a new house that they moved into. So I believe that they are listening on the webcast. So, hey, babe. So I wanted to start off today by reading some quotes. And I think these quotes are going to kind of get us in the mood about what my message is about today. So the first quote that I would like to read is from Friedrich Nietzsche. When a woman has scholarly inclinations, there's usually something wrong with her. All right, next quote. This one is from the famous cowboy actor John Wayne. And this is in reference to women as well. They have the right to work whenever they want, as long as they have dinner ready when you come home. All right, sensing a theme here. All right, let's look at Napoleon Bonaparte. Won a lot of battles. Nature intended women to be our slaves. They are our property. Ooh. All right, Aristotle. Let's go with Aristotle. Very wise man. A proper wife should be as obedient as a slave. Whew. All right. We got two more here. Hopefully they get a little better. Here's one from Kurt Vonnegut. Educating a beautiful woman is like pouring honey into a fine Swiss watch. Everything stops. And then the last one here. This is from Martin Luther, a man of God. This has got to be good. The words and works of God is quite clear. Good start. That a woman were made either to be wives or prostitutes, according to the Bible. In our society, many people use the Bible, and the Bible is seen as a book that causes many problems towards women in our society. It seems like it's a catalyst that is used to keep women down and to make women feel like they are second-class citizens. But this is just not true. The Bible shows that women are very valued by God, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Today, we're going to see the value that God puts on women. As we know throughout history, life has not been so nice to women. At many times, they've been seen as second-class citizens, like I said. They've been treated as slaves or even worse at times. They've been traded. They've been sold. This is happening right now. This isn't something that's happened just in the past. Here's a list of things that a woman was not allowed to do in 1918. This is 100 years ago. In the grand scheme of things, not that long ago. They were not allowed to serve on a jury. They couldn't open a bank account or apply for a loan because they were not trusted with money. They could legally be refused service for spending their own money in an establishment for the same reason, because they didn't have the right mind of spending their own money. And they couldn't get many jobs, such as being like a lawyer or an accountant. Think about the world that we live in right now. How are women portrayed many times? How are women portrayed in society from what we see? What is their value in this world? Not God's value, but what is their value in this world that we live in? It's hard to argue that sex is not used constantly when promoting women. It's used to sell almost everything that we do see on TV. It's a part of celebrities that so many people look up to. It's a prevailing message for Instagram models or any other social media types. It's very prevalent in music. Every Friday I get excited. I have a subscription to Apple Music. I like to see what new albums are coming out. It's hard. Like, it's honestly hard. Like, you look at all the new albums, the covers on some of the albums are honestly kind of crazy. And it's such a part of our life that I think it does start to dull our senses. And I think we start to just get used to it. And it's something that we do start to accept. But is that showing a good value towards women? Is that what we should be looking at women that way? Is that how we should be looking at women? Is this what we think is most important about women? So once again, what does the Bible say about women? Did God create women just to be second-class citizens? Did God create women only to raise children? Are women allowed to have positions of power? Let's start at the very beginning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 2. And we're going to look in verse 18. Genesis chapter 2. And in verse 18. It says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" And I've seen it translated, "I will make a helper comparable to him." We see here that women were created to be a helper, someone that is comparable to men. She is strong. She is somebody that is confident. She is somebody that is comparable to the man. Maybe at times some are not as physically strong as men, but God made women in his image. And he gave to her some of the qualities that I think he did not give to guys. They're absolutely necessary, no matter what society says. We need those qualities. I absolutely need those qualities. My wife has these qualities, and I would be absolutely lost if she wasn't in my life at times. And I need that help, and think about that too with Adam. God saw Adam. God saw that Adam needed help, that he wasn't complete without Eve. And so he brought her in. So he created somebody that was not inferior, but somebody that was brought about to be a helper. So what does it mean to be a helpmeet? I know that the helper is translated at times to be a helpmeet or to be a helper. Well, the word for that is a zer, E-Z-E-R. It's used twice in the Bible for reference for women. This is one of the times. All the other times, though, it's referring to God or it's referring to armies. It's talking about strength. It's not talking about something that is weak. For example, let's turn over to Psalm 33, verse 20. Psalm 33 and verse 20. And this is an example of using the word azer, but in a little different context here. It says that we wait in hope for the Lord. So it's talking about God the Father. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help. He is our azer and our shield. This is the same exact word that is being used here for women. They are a strength and they are a shield. It doesn't mean to be a servant. It means to be a very strong helper. And Eve was not an afterthought. I have heard people say that Adam was out there and he was just kind of naming all these animals, and then maybe God looked down and was like, oh, it looks like that guy down there is lonely. But that's not how it happened. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. It said that, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, this is before chapter 2, when Eve was brought into existence. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in the number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Eve was not an afterthought. Male and female were thought about at the same time when God did create this. God created both of them in his image. And we see here that in the next verse that we're supposed to subdue and we're supposed to fill the earth and multiply. God has a plan for all of us. God has a plan for both male and female. We know in Revelation 20, verse 6, that it's blessed and holy is he who comes up in that first resurrection. That is men and that is women. That is both together. Both men and women have the same promise. They have the same ability to get to that kingdom. And we know this plan, right? We know how perfect that this plan is. Do you think a part of this perfect plan would God would create somebody that would be seen as just a lesser role? Do you think that God would create somebody to just like a stepping stool for men to get into the kingdom? No. God created both of them so that they can be raised up, hopefully, in the first resurrection. Let's look in the Bible at some great examples of ladies. There are a lot of examples. I'm going to be turning to quite a few scriptures because there are so many examples. Actually, I could have cut out a lot of scriptures from this sermon. The biblical accounts of great men in the Old Testament consistently give respect and give thanks to their wives. We have Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel are only a few examples of women who play prominent roles in the scriptures. Other women are integral in the Bible. We have Eve, we have Miriam, Deborah, Ruth. We even find wisdom personified as a woman, and the church is called the Bride of Christ. God does not shy away from giving credit to women of faith and to use metaphors that require this feminine imagery. And the Bible is full of examples of ladies living a truly godly life. And this is an example that we can all learn from, not just women, but men and women together. Now, I'm going to stop here. We know that women are not supposed to be appointed as elders. So I want to make that clear. I'm not up here saying that this is something that should happen. We know in 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, it gives a description of elders. This is referring only to men. This is very clear in the Bible. I'm not here to argue about this. But does this make men superior to women? It doesn't. This is how God structured his church. He had it laid out before the creation that this is how the structure of his church was going to be. We have been given different responsibilities. This does not mean a woman has any less responsibilities. This does not mean a woman has any less talents. Think about with the descendants of Aaron, that they were allowed to serve in the priesthood, right? Does that mean, though, that any of the other tribes did not have the ability to do that? They could have done that. If they were allowed to do that, they could have fulfilled those jobs. It's the same thing with women. This is the structure that God has set up. Women can preach. Women are wonderful speakers. Women can give wonderful speeches. You have wonderful knowledge that does need to be shared. And God wants you to do that. And there's many other opportunities that you can take, such as writing articles in the publication, speaking up in Bible studies, leading a prayer, leading a biblical book club that I know that's done, teaching your children, sharing the gospel with others, pray with your husband. God does want you to be heard, but there are certain responsibilities that he has set up from the beginning. Now, this does not mean that women cannot have appointments of leadership either. In the United Church of God, we have many women that are appointed as deaconesses in the church that are integral in the growth of the gospel, as well as the church and the local church area and its work. And throughout the Bible, we have many other examples of women who have been given roles of leadership. Let's turn to Exodus 15, verse 20. Exodus 15, verse 20. I hope your guys' fingers are warmed up because we're going to be looking at some scriptures. So Exodus 15, verse 20. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea." Miriam was a prophetess. She was a leader. She led this charge to sing a song, to sing glory out to God. It's wonderful for a woman to be leaders. In Judges 4, verses 4 through 5, we have Deborah, who was a judge over all of Israel. She used to sit under the tree of Deborah, which is awesome. I want a tree called the tree of Mark. But people would come to her, and they would ask her for judgment, and they would come to her for wisdom. People from all over Israel would come to her for this. In 2 Kings 22:14, we have another prophetess named Huldah, and they went to her for guidance, and she delivered God's messages out to the people. And let's look at Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look in verse 36. 36 and 37. There is also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. What a wonderful example this lady is. This is the way that we should be living. We should be dedicating our lives to God, and that's exactly what she did. She fasted day and night. She was in the temple day and night. She is somebody that is to be admired. She's not somebody to be looked down upon. She's not somebody to be ridiculed or thought of as a second-class citizen. So what other examples in the Bible of women working and hanging out with the ministry? Let's turn to Philippians 4, verse 3. There's actually quite a few examples you'll see of Paul and Jesus and others where women were a part of the group as they were traveling around. So let's look in Philippians 4, verse 3. And Paul says, "Yes, I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life." Paul is talking about the women that were with him, that labored with him, that helped him during his time of preaching the gospel. And he says their names, and he says that they're going to be written in the book of life. He thought very highly of these women. I know because of some certain scriptures that many people think that Paul did not like women. He thought of them as second-class citizens. But I think you will see in here that he thinks very highly of women. And he thanks women, and he's very appreciative of the help that they would give. In Philippians 16:12, once again, Paul is sending greetings out to women. And he lists many women during this chapter, and he thanks them for the hard work that they have done. And in 16 verse 1, in that same chapter, he talks about Phoebe, her sister who played a prominent role in the preaching of the gospel. And they were fellow workers with Paul. They were there with him, and they were working just as hard with him. Once again, Paul thought very highly of these women. 2 Timothy 1, verses 4 through 5. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And this is Paul who is writing to Timothy. And in verse 4, he says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." He's given great respect to the mother of Timothy. He's given great respect to the grandmother. And later on, he talks about how Timothy was taught. And it shows that the grandmother and the mother passed down this knowledge to him. Once again, the Bible does not show that women are second-class citizens. The Bible does not show that women should be stepped upon, but instead, the Bible shows and God shows that women have great value. Now, let's look at some examples of women in the Bible that were used as a great example of faith. We know in Mark chapter 5, with the lady who was having some issues with bleeding, she had such great faith that she went up to Jesus Christ, just touched him. She had to work her way through a crowd. And she was so faithful that, you know, Jesus Christ felt something leave him. And she wouldn't stop at anything to get to him. And she was healed because of her faith. And we know in Luke chapter 7, this is the example of the woman who cried, was washing Jesus Christ's feet. And Jesus Christ, I can just kind of picture him there, just talking to all the other guys in the room. It was like, none of you guys offered to help me. None of you guys gave me water to wash my feet, but here is this woman who is washing my feet, and she's doing it with her tears. In Acts 9, verses 36, it talks about Tabitha. She is known for her great deeds. She was also used as an example so that people would believe in the Lord. It talks about how Tabitha was known throughout the land. Because of her great deeds, she died. Peter came. She was raised back to life. And then because of that, everybody throughout the land started to believe in God because of that. Look at these examples. If you think women have a lesser role just because they do not preach in church, then you have to change your thinking on this. You have to change the way you think about this, because God has set up these different responsibilities, and it does not make one less than the other. And what about important events in the Bible that women are directly involved in? In the time of the Greek and the Roman and the Jewish cultures of the Bible, women were almost possessions. That's really what they were thought of. They were thought as possessions. But Jesus Christ, during this time, which was pretty radical, would show love to the women. He would show respect to the women. Women were the first to see when Christ was risen. I don't think that's by accident. And they delivered the message. Also, the first time that Jesus revealed himself was to a woman. These aren't small things. These are some pretty big things that are happening in the Bible. And Jesus Christ specifically went to a woman and specifically revealed this to them. Now, I did want to talk a little bit about marriage. And before I talk, I know that there are some that are not married for whatever reasons, and you're making that choice. That is fine. But I do want to bring up the topic of marriage, because it is such a wonderful example that the Bible gives of men and women working together as well as God's plan. This world is telling women a twisted story about marriage. They're telling them that they do not have to support their men, that it's not something that needs to be done, that they should not have their back, that they should be so independent of their men that a husband and wife are like two separate beings, like they're not even together at all. Is that what God intended? Is that what God wanted when he set up this union of marriage? I wanted you to turn to Proverbs 31. We're going to look at a few scriptures here. Proverbs 31, starting in verse 10. This is a description of an honorable woman. We're very familiar with the virtuous woman. You know, we've read that many times, but this is about an honorable wife. It can be also talked about an honorable woman. By the way, this is being taught to King Lemuel by his mother. Gasp, it's a woman teaching this king knowledge. And when we read through this, I really want you to think about the words that are here. I want you to think about the responsibilities that it's talked about here. I want you to think about the gifts that you would have to be able to carry this out. I would like you to think about the talents and gifts that God gives to women to be able to do this. So let's go ahead and start in verse 10. And we will start right when I turn to the right place. The wife of noble character. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still night. She provides food for her family and portions for her female servants. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously, and her arms are strong for tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. And in her hands, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple, and her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. What an awesome example. I've read through these verses many, many times while preparing this sermon, just going through this. Does this woman sound weak to you? Does this sound like somebody that cannot take care of herself? Does this sound like somebody that doesn't know what they're doing or doesn't have any knowledge to take care of themselves? Or somebody that maybe isn't blessed by God? It's quite the opposite. The things that this woman is doing in these verses is absolutely amazing. I would say puts most of us to shame most of the time. And let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter, near the end of the Bible there in chapter 3. And we're going to read in verses 1 and 2. It says, "Wives, in the same way, submit yourself to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives." What is this? Like, what power do women have through their actions? This is talking about a man who is not a believer, but through her actions, that this man hopefully will be turned over to God. The most significant women in Scripture were influential not because just of their careers, but because of their character. The messages that these women collectively get is not about gender equality like we talk about in our society, but is about true feminine excellence. And that is always exemplified in moral and spiritual qualities by these women, rather than by just social standing, rather than by wealth or physical appearance. It is such a gift that women has, and one that I am truly humbled with, and one that I wish I had when I look upon my wife and the many wonderful things that she does. Don't let this world tell you otherwise. Don't let this world tell you that the talents and wonderful abilities that God has given to you is something that is bad. That's what happened in this world. Somehow, the blessings that God has given to wisdom have somehow been like twisted, and they've somehow been turned around to be seen as hindrances or to be seen as something bad instead of this wonderful, wonderful plan that God has set up. and wonderful talents and wonderful blessings. And what about men? What are men supposed to be doing in this whole marriage thing? They are supposed to be spiritual leaders. We know that. We know they're supposed to be spiritual leaders within the family. How should they treat their wives, though? Should they just expect the above? Should they be like, wife, did you read in those verses? I want you out in the snow. I want you having breakfast ready every morning. Is this how husbands should be treating their wives? Well, no. In 1 Peter 3:7, we're very familiar with this. Women are to be honored. Husbands are supposed to show their wives honor, and they're supposed to respect her. Let's actually turn there, since we're already in 1 Peter 3. Let's go down to verse 7. It says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you. Heirs, it's calling out together, and heirs with the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayer. And guys, think about this. This is a serious matter. God is putting this in here, and he is saying that if husbands do not do that, that if husbands do not honor their wives and do not respect their wives, that their prayers can be hindered. This isn't a small thing. Does this sound like God wants to treat women as second-class citizens? He very specifically says it right here in this verse, that your prayers can be hindered if you treat your wife this way. And this applies to all women. All women. God made sure that we knew this, and I think it's a very clear message. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 31, husbands are supposed to love their wives like Christ loved the church. And this is something we hear of a lot. How did Christ love the church? Well, we know that he laid down his life. The same caring and love that when we, so at nighttime and in the morning, you say prayers to Jesus Christ, right? You're praying to God and you're saying thanks to him. And you're thanking him for the kindness, for the forgiving of your sins. That is the same way that we are supposed to treat our wives. We're supposed to be so thankful, and we're supposed to treat her the same way that Christ treats the church. Think about it that way. Think about how thankful you are to Christ and how appreciative you are for the things that he does to you. Is this what we are doing to our wives, men? And marriage is such a wonderful example of God's plan and how the value of both men and women can come together. Recently, I went to a marriage seminar. And in that marriage seminar, I was actually talking with my wife. They had a section where kind of the men were separate and the women were separate. And they gave an example of how they said that, picture men are like a dollar bill, and that women are like four quarters. They have the same exact value, but they're used in different ways. They both have their strengths. They both have their effectiveness in certain situations. And this is also an example of God the Father in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came down to earth, made himself human, but still he prayed to God. He gave thanks to God the Father. He gave thanks to him at all times. We know that they are both equal. We know that they are both God. This is the same with men and women. We are different. And honestly, I say thank you to God for that difference, because it's something that is absolutely necessary. God knew absolutely what he was doing when he created men and women, and he had this plan. He did not create us exactly the same, but we all have the same exact inheritance to be able to go to the kingdom of God. Also, don't let society tell you that unless you can do what somebody else has been gifted and called uniquely by God to do, that you're not as valuable as they are. This is small-minded. This is unbiblical. And honestly, it's just wrong thinking. My wife is truly an amazing partner to me. She fills in the spots that I am very weak with her own talents. When I am down, she knows that, and she comes to lift me up. She knows how to pick me up during those times. She's a wonderful blessing to our children in the way that she teaches them, the way that she loves our children, for our family, through so many different ways. Honestly, so many different ways for me to even list here. And I'm truly so thankful for the differences between my wife and I, so that we can come together and we can have that perfect union. God, I marvel so much at this design that God created. I marvel at this wonderful design that God has laid out with marriage. And I'm blessed because of it. God has blessed women so much with an understanding of the Christ nature. It is truly amazing, I think, that the gifts that God has given to wisdom, they're to be admired and they are to be cherished. And this is talked about all through the Bible. And we have so many great examples of women in the church today. We have women that will dive headfirst into, you know, volunteering for things. And they'll take up responsibilities, and they'll lead classes, and they'll do this, and they'll do that. And there's so many that will pray fervently. You know, we hear about the widows, and we hear about others that will just, they just pray. They take all day, and that is their mission, to pray for people. And there's so many that are willing to offer up the advice that they have learned and offer it to the younger generation. And I am very thankful for all of these women. We have many hymns in our Bible, we have many hymns in our hymnal that are written by women as well, like inside this church service. 48 hymns out of the hymnal are written by women. And so probably today at some time we're going to be singing a hymn that was written by women. Let's turn to one final scripture here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to be reading verses 11 and 12. First Corinthians 11:11. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. In the Lord, both are needed. Man and woman are needed. We need each other, and we have to remember this throughout our life. This is how God created us, both man and woman. So let's read some more quotes. Got some more quotes here at the end. This first one is from Prince Henry. He said that we know that when a woman are empowered, they immeasurably improve the lives of those around them, their families, their communities, and their countries. This one is from Morgan Nichols. When you know that God has pursued you in such a special way through Jesus Christ, you don't have to spend your days hoping other people will finally see what you're worth. What Jesus gives you is more than enough. His pursuit of you is where you will find your true value. And this next one is by Sherry Du. Neither man nor woman is perfect or complete without the other. There is no marriage or family, no ward, no stake is likely to reach its full potential until the husbands and the wives, the mothers, the fathers, the men and the women work together in unity of purpose, respecting and relying upon each other's strength. And this one is from the comedian George Carlin. He said that men are from earth and women are from earth, so deal with it. So I thought I'd change that last one up a little bit. Men are from God, women are from God, so deal with it. God has made all of us special. He really has, all of us, man and women. So please do not let this world tell you any differently. Do not let this world mess up your mind and thinking the correct structure for man and women. We have different responsibilities that have been laid out by God. And if you believe in God, you believe in this perfect plan of God, then you know he has a reason for this. And you know that we are both a part of this plan that God has set up. None is above the other in this promise that God has given us to reach his kingdom. So let's both of us use these gifts and talents that he has given to us for the betterment of others.